Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, a really tired Lakers squad gets blown out in Houston. But was this Darvin Ham's dumbest game of the year? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. This one is always going to be free. It is never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 22,000 subscribers who are wondering just what the heck LeBron James was doing playing in the fourth quarter of Monday's 135-119 loss to the Houston Rockets. Look. The Lakers played, Andy, a double overtime game. Well, before I just get too deep into this, I do want to let people know that today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. And right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. The perfect timing right in front of the Super Bowl game, Andy. So, I mean, look, the Lakers, they played double overtime on Saturday, traveling around a lot, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not necessarily surprising that they looked, you know, Anthony Davis got a hip injury, the groin thing's back. It's not surprising that they looked worn down coming into Monday's game. Like, that part, did that strike you as odd?
No. I mean, first of all, you could tell from the opening 2 or 3 minutes that they did not have it in this game.
No.
And whether or not you think that is excuse-making, that is up to you individually, whoever watched the game, listening, whatever. But it is a fact. They looked exhausted. If you want to say that they should have been able to fight through it more because of where they are in the season and their record and their professionals and the urgency, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even looking to dispute it. I'm just telling you, they were clearly fried coming off the heels of that double overtime. That was painfully evident, painfully soon into this game.
Yeah, they were struggling. And then Anthony Davis picked up a quick foul first minute or so of the game.
No, first 20 seconds.
That's within the first minute. That's a quick foul. Sure. And you can tell was defending very much like, well, I can't pick up a second one and go to the bench, although I kind of wish he had. Maybe everybody could have gotten out of this game earlier, which we'll get to in a second. But, like, you know, when he's not able to defend, then things got, you know, Şengün was getting some easy looks underneath, and there wasn't resistance.
The Rockets lived in the paint in this game. They absolutely just set up shop. I mean, they're a team that scores well in the paint anyway, but tonight was 68 points. I mean, they just absolutely lived there.
And, you know, this is something that, you know, all the Lakers talked about after the game. They knew it in the scouting report. This is where Houston has been quite successful over their last 10 or 15 games. But, like, look, it's like, okay, fine. This over the course of an 82 game season, this type of game is going to happen. Traveling, double overtime games, super emotional, older stars, need rest, whatever it is. The Lakers lost this game, or lost the sort of the opportunity to win this game, or to just rest their stars 15 games ago. The problem with this game was the Brooklyn game, and, you know, name all the other dumb games the Lakers have lost over the course of this season, which made it so Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who are perpetually questionable, so that the Lakers can sit them in games like this. If you're questionable, it's very easy. The league's not going to yell at you. These guys are, you know, whatever. But they can't, because they're 24-24, and they can no longer have the luxury of taking this game. It's like, you know what? If they were 7 games over .500, LeBron and AD wouldn't have played. They probably would have lost, and we'd be like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Well, to a point, they They do. You are correct that they do not have the luxury of tossing games or just treating anything like a scheduled loss. You are 100% correct that 48 games into the season at perfectly 500. It was interesting on the Spectrum Sportsnet postgame show. Byron Scott was one of the guys in the booth, and he talked about how this is a 500 team. And they are who they are at this point. And he noted that, look, he thinks they have the talent to be more than a 500 team. And some of what he evidenced as the talent is what you just referenced before, the games that they could have won, should have won, that they've tossed away. And, you know, even some of the games what they've lost that they've played well against, like, legitimate opponents, like being shorthanded against the Clippers and playing them credibly, being shorthanded against the Wolves, playing them credibly. But nonetheless, this is who they are right now, and it becomes difficult to even have faith in them becoming more. That being said, though, even without the luxury of tossing games, at some point you do have to be thinking about the game that follows, literally tonight. Atlanta, by the way, that game, 4:30 local time. It's the third game of the six-game roadie, and you can catch every Lakers game on the hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Lakers. I know we're going to get into it.
No, let's just do it now, because I see it's third on the rail, but do it now, because I'm angry.
Well, there was a point where you have to start thinking about the practical realities and the likelihood of you actually being able to get back into this game, that the Lakers were seemingly down double digits from like the first 90 seconds onward. Like they fell down early in this game. The first quarter, they had some battles back and forth, largely D'Lo hot to start the game. He dramatically cooled off, but he kept them in it for a little while.
Lakers were actually up 25-24 at one point in the late in the first.
Right. But they spent that ended pretty quickly. And from the second quarter on, they may have been down double digits the entire time. I don't have everything in front of me, but however many moments were in single digit deficit, they were fleeting.
Yeah, no, you are correct. They got up. The closest the Lakers got was you know, once that league was built up, was 13, getting close to the end of the first half.
There was a point where Darvin needed to start thinking about, okay, this game is out of hand, so now we have to win this game tonight in Atlanta on the second end of a back-to-back and like 96 hours removed from a double overtime game in the Bay Area. What is the best way to handle it? And it seemed like he landed on the worst way to handle it. Like the absolute worst possible way to go about doing this.
So I texted you. We were talking.
For those unaware, by the way, just to set the scene, LeBron ended up playing 37 minutes in this game.
Essentially the entire fourth quarter.
Right. He played about 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis, by the way, who only ended up playing 29 games, he played almost the entire third quarter, despite them being down double digits and him clearly being hampered physically.
Limited. He said after the game, he's not sure he can play tonight.
Right. D'Lo played 41 minutes in this game. We'll get into D'Lo, his thoughts afterwards about this strategy.
I know Lakers fans are really unhappy with Darvin broadly, and I get the whole look. Jared Vanderbilt did not start in this game. He ended up getting thrown and baited into an ejection by Dylan Brooks. This was...
Went on to smack LeBron in the face.
Yes.
Somehow stayed in the game. I don't know how, but...
This was the dumbest game that Darvin Ham has coached this season. Inexcusably, inexplicably dumb. And I want to rant about it next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Quiz. And today we're going to have some fun. Test your Lakers knowledge. Which Laker won Finals MVP in 2020, the bubble championship? LeBron, AD, Dwight Howard, or Kyle Kuzma? While you think it over, maybe even just know off the top of your head, Quiz with Three Eyes is the next generation trivia experience. It's also the world's first platform where you can earn money playing knowledge games. And for Locked On Lakers fans, they've created an NBA quiz game where you can test your knowledge and win real cash and play with friends or other fans and let your knowledge shine all the way to the bank, baby. And you can play without downloading anything. Just go to app.quiz.com. Start playing today. NBA quiz is the ultimate knowledge challenge for fans that live and breathe basketball. And here's the answer. MVP of the 2020 finals. Who else? LeBron James, though. Interestingly, Dwight Howard, who is a member of that team, has been to two finals, one with the Lakers, one where he played against the Lakers. And Rajon Rondo, who was part of the 2020 title team, played in two finals against the Lakers, one with them. That in and of itself got me thinking all the stuff from Quiz. It gets your mind going. And I had fun playing it. You'll have fun playing it. So go to app.quiz.com to test your knowledge, win some cash today. That's Quiz with Three Eyes, just like a three-pointer. And play now, showcase your skills, and take home cash prizes. App.quiz.com, where fans become champions.
I get the frustration with the starting lineup. Why isn't Jared Vanderbilt starting, with all these other things? And, you know, this is the best lineup the Lakers have. They should, whatever. I get it. And I have sort of given up on the idea that's going to happen. I'm paying much more attention to how much time he actually gives those lineups. You can at least make, there is a coherent basketball explanation, logic, reasoning behind Taurean Prince is my starting small forward. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to think it's correct. You can think Darvin is stupid for it, but it exists. It is really Robert Horry, who is not a dumb basketball guy, was noting that, you know, he believes that there's a lot of value in having Vanderbilt come off the bench. Like, smart people can have this debate. There is no basketball reason, basketball-related logic to having 39-year-old LeBron James play nearly 40 minutes in this game and almost the entire fourth quarter, particularly if you have a game in 20 hours. I thought maybe the explanation could be that they had already determined that LeBron wasn't going to play on Tuesday. So if that's the case, he might as well play more on Monday because he's going to sit anyway. That is not the case. LeBron said after the game he's planning on playing tonight. Maybe it's because they lost. I don't know. But he's planning on playing. So throw that explanation out the window. That is malpractice. I mean, yes, the Lakers went on a run and they got, and I texted you, we were talking about it because your text to me was, I believe, what the bleep is Darvin doing?
Sounds about right.
To which I replied to you that it's going, like this, I said, this annoys me more than the starting lineup. You can make a basketball argument. This you can't. I said, they're going to get it within 8 and then lose. I was off by 2. They got it to within 10. But do you want to guess what the probability, you know, the ESPN, all the sites have like the probability, win probability at flowing throughout the game? When the Lakers got it to within 10 at the 3:54 mark of the fourth quarter, do you know what Houston's probability, win probability was at that point?
93%.
Higher.
97%.
98%. The Lakers got it to within 10 with just under 4 minutes to go, and Houston still had a 98% chance of winning the game. I understand great comebacks happen all the time, but do you know what normally happens about 98-99% of the time when you fall behind by 30 in the second half? You lose. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened tonight. This was basketball malpractice, and it was the dumbest game Darvin has coached all year.
Yeah, I tweeted out during the game at Cam Brothers. Darvin is coaching tonight like a guy who monitors his mentions on Twitter with a burner phone and is determined to give middle fingers to every random egg yelling at him, because there were a lot of eggs and people who attach names to their avatars who were saying, what are we doing? Sit LeBron, sit AD, you know, during the third quarter when he played like 10 minutes and could barely move. And I also tweeted out, like, look, if the Lakers somehow pull this out, I will be the first to publicly apologize to Darvin and happily, because obviously I want the Lakers to win.
Send but, all of my tweets to Freezing Cold Takes. It's fine. I don't care.
But given the context, everything we laid out, they have to win. Like, nothing else justifies the approach. Like, if they got it to a tie game and Houston ends up winning on a 55-foot buzzer-beating heave, not justified. You cannot justify what they were doing, given the whole context, unless you win. And given the odds that they would win, and everything else that you have to monitor, like this game in Atlanta, which is now extremely important, and the fact that, you know, you had a point where LeBron, three quarters into this game, LeBron had played 27 minutes. You start bumping this thing up to 37. LeBron may end up playing tomorrow. Tonight. He says that he's going to play tonight, but he's going to be feeling it more. Anthony Davis, you had the opportunity to just recognize he doesn't have it and let him sit the second half or sit after 3 or 4 minutes of the second half, only clock about 20 minutes and get better. Not thought out at all.
Houston went up 30 in about 4.5 minutes into the third quarter. And look, this happens. You have days where, you know, you're tired, whatever, team doesn't have it, you're flat, whatever. You know, the year the Sixers lost like however many games, like, you know, 70 games, so they set a record. They beat Cleveland on opening night or whatever it was. They beat the Cavs that year. Like, it happens. Fine. But like, and there are times when your team falls behind, you're like, you know what? This team's gone on a heater, and like we hang in this long enough, they will give this game back to us, because, you know, we're doing okay. We're just kind of getting an avalanche. This was not that.
Well,
there was nothing about the way the Lakers were playing. I mean, we made the joke about guys being tired or whatever. I actually texted you. I guess Christian Wood was tired just from watching the game on Saturday, because he was terrible in this game. Like, everybody was bad, except for, I will give him credit, Jackson Hayes, who clearly saw an opening based on what Wood was doing. It was like, I'm going to get my rotation spot back, and came out there and, you know, moving screens aside, did
Bird's got to fly. I mean, this is what Jackson Hayes does. I mean, he's got to put it.
Jackson Hayes moving screens.
I mean, he's got to put his signature on a game. He's got to let everyone know he was there.
But like, there was nothing about this game, Andy, that gave you even the slightest bit of hope that, again, you make a run, you're down 10. They got it within 10. That is not, we almost came back.
Well, okay, here's... Even Darvin's own words after the game underscored why this was such a bad decision. Again, when you think about this big picture and trying to put yourself in the best position to win tonight in Atlanta, Darvin talking about, like, you know, making that judgment call about figuring out, okay, can we get back into this thing versus the game's just out of hand? You know, how much time is left? He said at one point, the deficit is so huge at that point. You keep chopping it down, but you basically got to play perfect basketball. The Lakers rarely went two possessions in a row playing anything that resembled perfect basketball. Like, what made you think, based off what you saw tonight, especially with AD not likely able to be a part of that fourth quarter, like, what made you think that perfect basketball was going to happen?
I defer not just to Darvin, but to coaches generally, because these people know much more about basketball than I do. I try to watch, I try to ask good questions, I try to pay attention. I'm not comparing myself and my basketball knowledge to an NBA head coach, even the bad ones. So, like, you know, lineup questions, play calling, things like that, I will give some deference there. Criticize, but with deference. If I can see, because this is not a basketball logic, basketball choice. This is just stupid. Like, if I can see what the problem is here, and I, because there is no basketball decision to be made here. There is no strategy or lineup or whatever. This is just, do I play my star here because I think we can win, or do I not? And he chose the one that was so obviously wrong in the context that makes it where the correct answer is so blindingly obvious. Sit the man down. You're down by 30. Pull the frickin' plug halfway through the third quarter. Nobody's going to criticize you for that. Nobody's going to say, oh, look, they're giving up on the game. They're going to say, you know what? That's smart.
Or, you know, that's what? If they criticize coaching, they criticize, who cares? I mean, at this point with Darvin, put it on his tab.
D'Lo had some interesting comments about the playing time in the fourth quarter. We'll get to it next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by BetterHelp, and January is just about in the books, but you're still, I think, a lot of people thinking about the idea of your New Year's resolutions and trying to make 2024 as productive as it can be, as allow yourself to thrive, be the best version of yourself. And that can be inspiring, but also really stressful and daunting. And it can lead to overwhelming thoughts and even feeling worse about yourself. And therapy can be a really bright spot amidst all the anxiety and uncertainty with that. And just something to look forward to help you feel centered and grounded and help you manage everything going on. I can personally speak to how much therapy helped me during a really difficult period in my life for me and my family. And just sitting down, talking with someone was really, really huge. And BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, accessible anywhere, 100% online, no waiting rooms, no traffic, and it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can help you get there. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by FanDuel. Happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday, it's about scoring the best seat on the couch. You're grabbing your favorite football snacks, like chicken wings. And not an exotic choice. I know America goes through like millions and millions of wings on that Sunday, but whatever, they're delicious. And then you play some super bets. And so you got your Chiefs, you got your Niners. I think for a lot of people, it's the game that they wanted to see, the teams that they thought were best. So that's exciting right there. But what are you going to do to kind of make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit more exciting? FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W or two or three. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, that is an easy one, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score touchdowns, how many points will be scored, over under, all kinds of fun parlays that you can get into. And it is a perfect time to try, because new customers join today, you'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. $200 in bonus bets for $5 if it wins. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. The other thing that Andy makes this sort of viscerally stupid is the idea that you think you're going to get enough stops for, I don't know, a quarter and a half without your best defender in the game. And, you know, Jared Vanderbilt was wrong to be thrown out of this game. He, you can't get baited like that by Dylan Brooks. However, and Brooks earned the anger from Vanderbilt, because that was one of the, you know, Vanderbilt goes up in the first quarter for an uncontested dunk. There was no chance that anybody on Houston, Dylan Brooks included, was going to be able to defend that shot. Brooks put his hand in his side and could have really hurt Vanderbilt. That was as dirty a play as you're going to find on a basketball court.
Or just a random Monday for Dylan Brooks.
That's true.
You know, I mean, he later whacked LeBron in the face as LeBron was heading towards the basket. It was a double move, as Darvin talked about it afterwards and noted maybe Dylan Brooks should not have been in this game. You know, it was funny. Byron Scott afterwards said, like, look, I'll give Vando some veteran advice. If you're going to get ejected, get your money's worth. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to shove Dylan Brooks twice, and you
shoved him once, really, for the one that got him out of ejected from the game was like a poke in the head.
Whatever. I mean, shove, poke, however you want to put it. If you're going to get ejected, make it worth your time. That second one was not worth his time. But it also, too, reminded me of the fatigue factor, because Vando played 40-something minutes, which I think he told Mike Trudell, he wasn't sure off the top of his head, but might be a career high for him. But,
close.
the Lakers, we talked about, looked tired. And, you know, it reminded me in some ways of, anybody who's a parent will relate to this, when you have kids who are tired, they're often cranky. They're often unable or unwilling to make the best decisions. And it felt, I can't say with 100% certainty that Vando was more susceptible to getting baited like that because he was tired and or cranky, but I find it believable, because this was pretty early into the game for Vando to lose his cool like that, or just take the bait. As for Brooks, the league, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with Brooks, but the league needs to have a talking to with Dylan Brooks, because somebody's going to get hurt with the crap that he does. And
yeah,
you know, at this point, dude, you've gotten paid. You don't need to keep doing this stuff to earn your rep or whatever. Like, stop doing it. Like, just stop. He's honestly a good enough player that he shouldn't have to do this stuff.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't like him, but yes, he is good enough that he doesn't need to do that stuff. D'Lo, who was one of the other guys who had to continue to play in this game, should have been on the bench, was asked about it after, and I know you took note of his response.
Yeah, he was asked about that balance between thinking about the game tomorrow versus thinking you still have a chance. Like, when and where do you draw that line? Like, he was asked, I think by Brad Turner from the LA Times, like, it was phrased, you're down 30. And D'Lo said, I don't know when we were down 30, like in terms of when in the game specifically. But I think in the fourth quarter, around 7 or 8 minutes left, one more push. And that's when that's when the decision should be made. Again, that's on coach. We got a back-to-back, you know. So I think that's definitely something we should do. I want to be clear, like, D'Lo was a little bit meandering there, and also I think trying to be political in his response. So I can't say with 100% certainty what he meant, and I don't want to present myself as knowing. It sounded
right, or like D'Lo's, like, yeah.
It sounded to me like he thought he and LeBron and Austin should have been out of that game earlier. That's the impression I got. Feel free to disagree.
Yeah. Obviously.
I mean,
Maxwell Lewis, like, 6 minutes into the second half was like, it's Maxwell time. I'm going to finally get some burn, like 12, 14 minutes of burn. Like, it's Lewis time. Let's make it happen. He played 2 minutes.
We've spent a lot of time, you know, basically this whole show on the way Darvin managed the minutes in this game and the potential ramifications from it. Who knows? Maybe tonight they play really well in Atlanta. They maintain 500 status and you try to do your best work upcoming against the Knicks and the Celtics. Those are going to be difficult games on the road. But like, in terms of Darvin's decisions, and like, I know there had been like a lot of hope from Laker fans that after the way what I phrased as the death lineup performed against Golden State and the glimpses that we saw against the Bulls in that win before Golden State, that maybe Darvin would make the lineup change. And he did not. Neither one of us anticipated that he would. I think I maybe more than you really hoped that he would. And I've been pretty adamant about, I think he should. And I don't really understand why he hasn't, other than just logic that I don't think holds in terms of tangible evidence. But in terms of thinking about the direct correlation between how they looked tonight in Houston and starting lineup and Golden State and all of that, the Golden State game turned into a double overtime game in very large part because the Lakers fell so far behind, dramatically far behind, to start the third quarter. Like in the first 5 minutes, they were outscored something like 24 or 25 to 5. And they went from being up 5 at the half to down double digits, like 5 minutes in the third quarter. And they had to expend a ton of energy getting themselves back to even, and then eventually the overtimes, as opposed to being able to just knock Golden State out. I'm not going to say definitively that things would have changed with the death lineup or that it obviously would have been better. But I think that is indicative of an example of sticking with something that clearly is not getting you the results that you want on a regular basis. As at best, that lineup has been slightly neutral. It's which neutral. Is a really
we looked at, we talked about it for, right. for Monday's show. That lineup right. on the year is neutral. It's not neutral after Monday, but it has right. been.
I'm saying if you want to be most generous in the way you described it, it's you describe it slightly neutral. To cling to that as your starting lineup, like it's one thing if, say, you have a starting lineup that works fine, but you think like maybe something could be better, but at least the starting lineup is giving you something that is tangibly fine to good, if not great. Okay, I can get that. This lineup has not been giving them tangibly good results. And if you're not going to start the death lineup, okay. But it does seem weird to be clinging to this lineup so with so much conviction. And again, I bring this up because that third quarter is directly related to how they looked in Houston. And it's starting to become right. more and more difficult to justify this at all. It just is.
I have given up.
Start someone yeah. else. But
I have given up. Well, I mean, start Vanderbilt. But I mean, because I mean, the Rui lineups haven't been particularly good either.
They've been better than the.
I don't know. I have to check that 5-man yeah. lineup. But like, it's one of those deals where I've sort of given up on it, not because I think it's a good idea, you know, but just because it's not going to happen. It just seems like he is not going to do it. And so I'm at the very least going to turn my attention to, well, how much are you going to play the lineup together? Sure. And he did go to it earlier yes, on Monday did. Than he had in other games. So there is that starting lineup, but I'm looking at it the wrong bit. It's I'll figure it out. It doesn't matter. It's a minus 3.6. Just so it's slightly worse than, but whatever. Start Vanderbilt. But I just don't think he's going to do it. And now I just want to see like, okay, well, are you at least going to give it minutes? Maybe he would have given it more minutes had Vanderbilt not been thrown out. We'll see. Maybe he'll get to try again.
And look, tonight they didn't have it. Like, I don't think right. the lineup tonight mattered. I'm just saying there are these correlations. Sure.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just sort of explaining my position here. Like maybe he would have on Monday played the lineup more had Vanderbilt right. been available. Maybe tonight in Atlanta, he will do it more. Again, Lakers versus the Hawks. Catch every pitch of the Lakers hometown broadcast of Sirius XM on the SXM app. Search Lakers. This is the best. I feel like at this point, this is just sort of the best fans can hope for. Well,
and my last point on it, I hate how it's turned Torian Prince into a punching bag for reasons, frankly, he does not deserve. Because for the most part, I think he's been fine in his role. His role is being mismanaged. It's actually been
pretty good. Yeah.
Right. I don't like seeing Torian go through this, and I'm sure he's aware of it. These guys know everything that's said about them. It sucks for him.
Yeah, theme. I agree. That said, he's picked a bad couple days to be in a slump.
Sure.
Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 22,000 subscribers to the channel. We will be back after tonight's game against the Hawks. We'll see what kind of mood we're in, because Monday left me, as probably you can tell, really angry. So we'll see everyone after the game.